Thank you, Ms. Drake. What a bless. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. I'm not sure if this is going to come off more like a Bible study tonight. I just know this is where God has us to be tonight. And for the tape room tonight, the title will be Crossings. Crossings. I will, someone help me out. I appreciate Brother Jevin sending me the text. I think we were in the studio when we got that clip from the sheriff. This is just a small version of him, and so I didn't show him to you, but it would be nice if we had this. This is what he said: if you decide to get scared in the middle of the storm, they were trying to urge people to leave. He said, "It's too late. You bought you a full ticket ride." Amen. And so it would be nice if we could get that attitude, one of them, like, you bought you a full ticket ride. Amen. And so, but what a blessing. What a sheriff we have. And again, you be in prayer for them. It's not over for a lot of folks. There's a lot of still folks they're trying to help and things like that. And there's a lot of things that the governor is still having to deal with, even from the first storm. Amen. So be in prayer for our leaders and those that are dealing with a lot of that stuff. And some of us are still dealing with it. And so we'll be in prayer. I will say just tonight in Genesis chapter 32, last Sunday night I preached on confessions. And this is kind of something that the Lord had put in my heart. And something I tucked away a while ago when I was reading it, and I thought it would fit well here. Jacob, he is he's a supplanter. He's somebody who his nature has not been a godly nature, and God's going to change his name. He's going to have a time that he faces God, and again, I believe at this point where we find him in Genesis 32, he's already begun his change. He's a married man with children. God has blessed him greatly with all kinds of, just think about all the things that he is crossing back over with as he comes to the Jordan. And I think sometimes when we get to the place in the scripture, sometimes we forget, once we've already crossed over, sometimes we forget all that God has done. And it's sometime at the crossing points of our lives, these times where we got to stop and think about how we're going to cross this place, that we look back and we really see what God has done and how he's changed our lives. Not, it wasn't long ago, and I don't think he would mind me saying it, but I'm not going to call his name tonight. But I sat down and, something happened with one of the families in our church, and I sat in the office and I said, prayed together, talked through some things, and I said, are we okay? And he said, he just began to weep. He said, preacher, when I first came to this church, I didn't have a house. I didn't have a car. He said, he started counting off all his cars. He started talking about how good God had given, now I have my house. And he just began to weep and talk about, when I crossed over and I crossed into salvation and I got in this thing, he said, if you could just look back at what I used to be and all that God has done and all the blessings of God. Sometimes we get looking on the Johnsons and we don't have what they have. Now, I'm not talking about Brother Johnson, all right? you've had to have that before, haven't you, brother? Amen, amen. So I think tonight just reminding us that sometimes, and here Jacob is reminded of some things. And I need to lay the foundation because I can't read all of this for you. And I hope I think many people have started reading their Bible in the beginning of the year and read a lot of Genesis. And so if they don't know the rest of the Bible, they know at least the stories of the foundational patriarchs of the Bible. And here Jacob is tried to go home like God has told him to. And he has been held up by Laban. Now, I'm just going to tell you that a lot of what Laban does to Jacob, he reaped what he sowed. All right? He tricks him. All right? He gives him, he says, I'm going to work 7 years for this wife. And when they get married and the veil's pulled back, it ain't the one he thought he had. Now, he really loved the other one because he worked another 7 years for her. Amen. And he stayed, and he's going back, and God has really blessed him, and God has commanded him to go back. And so when Laban finally turns him loose, and really, that's not what happens, he kind of takes off. He takes his leave. And Laban, I don't know whether he would have run him down or whether they would have chased him, but There's some, you know, if you read the passage of Scripture, then you understand that Jacob's second wife there, the one that he loved, the one that he worked so hard for, she stole some stuff from her dad. And she's hidden it in the tent. And so Laban, I think, would have probably tried to go run them down anyway. But because they've stolen these things, and by the way, I don't know if you've read the passage of Scripture, but you ought to go back and read it. They were false gods. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you know, a lot of times, I'm going to ask you this, what have you been chasing? You know, most sometimes what really bothers us and worries us the most are things that we've let become gods in our lives. I mean, again, Christian, God's people, you know, what are you chasing? You know, I mean, when we first get saved and we first surrender, there's nothing we wouldn't leave behind for Jesus. It's all to him I owe. Amen? And we give anything, but along the way, somehow, we start chasing after things that, you know, when Laban gets there, he even realizes, what in the world am I doing? He realizes, and God shows him. Now, this isn't the storyline. I wanted to give you this. This is the past. This is coming right up to chapter 32. And as we get to chapter 32, then God starts to open Jacob's eyes. After Laban is taking his leave of him, and now Jacob, who probably felt, the Bible doesn't really talk about how threatened he felt or anything. He's going to talk about the fear that he has for Esau as he gets ready to cross back over. But he gets to this place where God opens his eyes and lets him see that God had his whole host there to protect him. And many of us don't realize how important Israel, Jacob, is to God. His lineage and his seed, he has been set apart from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord Jesus will come through this line. And if you don't understand, listen, sometimes we think about how important he is. You know, God reminds me often, you know, he don't really need me, but I'm important to him. God really don't need you, but you're important to him. I mean, he only sent his son from heaven to die on Calvary for you and to pay your sin debt, to redeem you back into yourself. And he knew who you were when he did it. And for those of us who came way after the cross, he knew who you were going to be and still sent his son to die for you. Sometimes we get down in the mouth and down in the tooth and we forget that God loved us enough, found us valuable enough to send his only begotten son from heaven to die on Calvary for us, to pay our sin debt, to redeem us back into himself. And yes, sometimes we forget those things and we do things, but listen, every once in a while, God will open our eyes to the fact of his love that he sent for us again, and his son that he sent for us. Listen, those things, those are crossings in our life where we ought to look back and measure, not with our men's eyes and what the world thinks. I mean, right now they're measuring all their losses. If you could turn around and count every kid, and you guys say, I mean, listen, I'm just going to tell you, you ought to circle the wagons and realize after the storm what's really important. Because if we're not careful, we'll count shingles, houses, cars. But if you're able, listen, there are people tonight that burying their children. There are people that are burying grandma and grandpa, and they're trying. There's some that are still looking for them. And when we come through a storm, we praise God for all the things that God left us, instead of the things that, if another storm came, I could cross over with. Do you know tonight, as a saved daddy, I'm looking forward to a crossing one day. And I'll cross over, and it's a swelling tide. And listen, I'm not going to take my cars. I'm not going to take my house. Anything that I collect, even though I love to study and look at those things. I mean, I don't know how many of you guys, man, I used to think baseball cards were the best thing since sliced bread when I was a boy, and there's a bunch of them in a box. You know, every one of them's worth a penny if they don't got no bent corners. They're worth whatever anybody will pay for it. But they ain't going to be there's no currency in heaven like that. And I think sometimes we forget what's precious, and it's not until the crossing times of our life that we realize. And sometimes God will let us see how much He loves us, how much He really has protection over us. We'd be surprised tonight if you realized how much God loved you and just who was watching over you. Some of you that, I mean, just think about your house and things that you may think God left for you, and more of the storm was precious, and you'd be surprised how many angels were holding the thing together. That just covering and circling around. And in chapter 32, look at verse number 1 with me tonight. He says, "And Jacob went on his way." He's leaving Laban now. "And the angels of God met him." Doesn't say angel, does it? It says angels. "And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of them," or that place, "Mahaman." And again, the word itself means two camps. Now, I don't know how much of a Bible student you are, but evidently, host means it's a bunch of people. It's an army. And there's two camps that Jacob sees. And I want to submit to you tonight that there's a couple reasons why God does some things for you. Do you think it was encouraging to Jacob to realize that God's army had his back when Laban showed up? To realize all along, when he thought maybe he'd have to fight this battle by himself, he was doing exactly what God told him to do, even against what his father-in-law wanted him to do, and his father-in-law rode out after him. But God stood with him when he stood in obedience to God. God shows him two camps. Now, by the way, this is just a side piece for you, and I don't know how many of you theologians are thinking tonight, but God does almost everything in threes, but one-third of the host left heaven. So there were two-thirds to stand with Jacob. Because if God had peeled back his eyes and he really looked, it wasn't Laban that he should fear. There was a host on the other side that had rebelled against God. And they didn't want to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bring the seed that would redeem all the world back into things. And all the time, every one of us need to realize it. I mean, in every moment, we look with so many natural eyes that there is a spiritual battle going on all around us. And we need to be encouraged in the fact that that side ain't as strong as the side that I crossed over on a long time ago. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to come to a crossing in our life and realize that God has set his, I mean, he has set his seal on us with his Holy Spirit of God, and the devil can't touch us. Now, he can get after you and he can try to kill this body, but there's an eternal one made in the heavens. I think so. I just heard somebody preach on that. And when we see this, we come to this place, there's two camps. God always does stuff to encourage us, but sometimes he gives us a point or an idea in the right direction. You're going to find in the passage as we read down that he's crossing back over, and what his mind is on is, I just got past this Laban problem, but the thing that I really feel is the haunting of my past. Because the brother that he really did wrong cheated him out of his birthright, whether he sold it to him or not. No matter what side of that battle you're on, I'm just going to tell you, Esau felt cheated. It's one thing if your brother does it, because brothers are born for adversity, the Bible says. But how about your twin brother? You know, Jacob probably felt cheated. I was real close to being first in this race. I ran a real close second. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we need to be reminded how people think when we study the Bible. And Jacob here, he says, Jacob sent messengers. So as soon as he sees these two camps, he decides he's going to send message to Esau. He's got an idea. He has a plan now that he knows God's behind him and God's with him. And we see in verse 3, "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, unto the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight.' And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him.' And look what the Bible says. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. What was he afraid of? His past coming back to haunt him. Do you know how many of us worry and fear about things that we didn't take care of? You know, when we talk about confession and forsaking, and that's what we preached on last Sunday night. You know, a lot of folks do something to make themselves feel better. And they'll say a prayer or come to the altar, but they never do anything about it to change. Now, Jacob is somebody who isn't the same man that left. Because the same man that left just kind of did what he did to his brother and then left on his parents' command and, again, for his own safety, left that place. I'm just going to tell you, I've read the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, in a straight-up fight, Esau wins every time. Jacob is not half the man that his brother was, not physically. Now, spiritually, it's a whole different battle. The Bible says, listen, can you imagine being able to read the Bible if Esau, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? Folks, I'm just telling you, when you come to that, listen, he's fearful of man. He says, and he divided the people. Two camps, folks. He takes this idea from God and he divides the camp and he decides, all right, I'm going to divide the people. And he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels, 200 bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and of God my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kinsmen. I don't know if you picked this up, but I just want to make sure you realize before I read the rest of it, he's praying. He says, return, said unto me, return to thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Now, I just want you to see this picture, and this is my heart tonight, and I just want to understand, when you cross back over and you realize there's a battle coming, there's something you may face, and you may lose half of what God has blessed you with. There's a good chance you're going to take loss in this next battle. You will gather what is most important to you in the second band closest to you. Do you know a lot of Christians, you know, we ought to do some soul searching before we come into the battle of our lives and realize what you could lose and it wouldn't hurt you. What you could give up and it wouldn't take anything. Do you know, fundamentalism itself went through a time period where we didn't have buildings and we didn't have history. We had history in the church. We had historical doctrine, but we didn't have buildings. We didn't have a denomination. And for that matter, we left it because we didn't like what it became. For some of us, we never were a part of it. And what's important for us to understand is, you know, people that left that and decided what they could, they divided, not into two camps, but all of a sudden they started to divide their life and realize this part I can do without. And the generation, and listen, most of you are just like me, there's two generations before most of us. I'm really a second generation Christian, but it happened backwards. I got saved first and then my daddy. Hey, for most of us, I just want you to understand that that didn't always happen that way. And for most of us, some of the gray head that's in this room that talk about the heyday of fundamentalism, they're not talking about just the, we think about all the soul winning and the buses and all the people. And if they really boiled it down and they split it into two camps, that is the Great Commission and it's important. But none of that happened. All of those things were byproducts of the sacrifice of God's people. God's people decided, I can do without this so that God can have this. I can do without this. And they took their lives and they took what was most important and they huddled it all together. And then, listen, I'm going to tell you, this building wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God's building. God's sacrifice. God's people sacrificing. And I mean, you may not be appreciative for it, but I am. When it rains, I'm glad we're in here. every day in Florida when the air is on in this building, I'm glad for this building. I'm just going to tell you, and listen, that didn't happen by happenstance. It happened by sacrifice. And most of us in this generation either don't remember or we don't act that way anymore. We don't live the Christian life in an area where if God really asked me for it, I'd give it to him. If God required it of me, he could have it. I'm just going to tell you, listen, there's coming a day we're going to stand before the righteous judge, and Jacob is coming to this place, and instead of fearing God and pressing on, he stops for a moment and fears his brother. Do you know what holds up most Christians? It's the fear of the past. It's some hang-up that they have. Again, I'm just going to tell you, people that got saved in the 70s realized that God was doing a great work and they wanted to be a part of it. What's going on in our generation? I believe, and listen, one of the reasons I decided to preach this tonight is because, again, do you know my house? If you went by my house today, it kind of looks like nobody lives there. The windows are all boarded up. There was no lights on during the storm, right? Do you know most Christian lives in some churches today look like that? They're hunkered down and waiting for Jesus to come. Instead of by faith going forward and sacrificing, trusting God, and ready to cross on over the next Jordan of our lives and what God wants to do in this place, we're worried about tomorrow. We're worried about living out here. What if Jesus doesn't come? He's going to still be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still promised to take care of us. You can't outgive him. You can't, listen, I'm just going to tell you, there ain't no army that can beat him. If he pulled back the sky tonight and just let you see all the host of all the angels and everybody that's on our side and for us and pushing in our direction, it would wow all of us and we would feel just like Jacob and realize, man, I need to cross over and go forward for God. But way too many times what happens is there's some bridge or some place or something that haunts us. Something from our past or something that we brought with us. Listen, he says this, and I want you to get this. He tells a lie to God. He said, I crossed over and all I had. Now, I know what he was talking about. He said, the only thing I had to my name was my staff when I crossed this Jordan. But he comes back. And you know what? When Jacob did that thing, he wasn't worried about his life. His life wasn't precious to him. He never thought about his wife and his children and all that he would have to face when he crossed back over Jordan. But now when he made that decision, now he's going to face it. Listen, he's haunted by his past decisions and burdened down with all of God's blessings. You say, what do you mean burdened down? I'm just going to tell you. He's having to decide what he can live without. God had blessed him with all these things. And now he believes in his mind and in his heart he's going to take loss because of his past. Judgment's coming. I'm just going to tell you, folks, I don't know how many Christians that live in this age, many of them are hampered in their service because, again, instead of confessing and getting it right, not only with yourself and with God, but with the others. Do you know if he had gotten it straight with Esau, there would be no fear. If he had gotten it straight before he ran away from home and he had just settled it, there would be nothing to fear as he crosses back over. He'd have huddled his children instead of saying, if the men pull swords out, you run and you hide. He would have said, I can't wait until you meet my brother. He's my twin, but he looks nothing like me. You'll know him because he's a hairy man. Hey, can you imagine? What, I mean, his children have never seen their uncle. They've never seen where their daddy was from. They've never seen any of this. And instead of crossing over with confidence and going home and seeing family, they cross over with fear. I wonder how many Christians, instead of dealing with your business, things that happened in your life and your sin, instead of dealing with it and getting it behind you and getting it right with other people, how many of us tote that stuff around? And then when we cross over, listen, can I just tell you, God knows who you are. He knows you're a sinner. And he has decided to love you and use you anyway. But don't carry any more baggage than you have to. Don't carry things across the river that you're going to end up having to bring back. And now it's not just Jacob that has to deal with it. He's carrying his wives into it. He's carrying his children into it. All his servants and all his animals. Do you know one of the biggest things that I really believe is, I talked about sin, unconfessed and unforsaken sin. But most people never go far enough after confession. There's a confession here to God. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. He says, God, I'm not even worthy of your mercy. I fully expect to receive the judgment that I deserve from my brother because I did him wrong. He says, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Listen, the song that was sung tonight, listen, that wasn't planned tonight. But can I just tell you, most of us walked in here and we lift this book up. There's a prime example behind us how much we love the English Bible, the King James Bible. He says here, of all the truth. Do you know how many of us, listen, when you want to know what you can do without, you ought to measure it by these things. Think about this. What is the truth worth to you? Do you know why you hold a Bible in your hand tonight? Because people died for it. You hold a Bible and have all the truth in your hand tonight because God, somebody thought it was so precious that they hid it. And they copied it. And they hid it. And they copied it. And they hid it. And they copied it. And man after man died to the stake, lost their head. Their families followed them because the Bible was precious. Listen, tonight, I don't know about you, but I'm just, again, reading the passage of Scripture and trying to remind God's people, this book gives us, it's like a GPS for our lives. It is the truth that leads us to salvation. But more than anything, it is the book that taught me to cross over unto salvation. It is the book that taught me to cross over what I preached this morning in service. It's the book that taught me to cross over in sacrifice and in surrender of my life for the Lord. What is truth worth to you tonight? What will you sell out in your home to show your kids you really don't love the truth? What will you sell out and cross over? I'm just going to tell you, we live in an age today where this is okay. No, it's against the truth. It's opposite of the truth. You say, preacher, this isn't a 3-point in a poem. No, but we need it. Jacob crosses over, and now he's going to meet his brother. And I'm just going to tell you, he says, he's praying to God, and he says, and of all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Do you know this book is so precious to me? It's not just a book of truth, but daily when I read this book, God shows me truth. He shows me how the truth that he showed me yesterday and the truth that he shows me today connect together and they're one truth and how they're connected to his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible is such a precious book, and for all of us, too many times we do things that water it down in the eyes of those around us. By the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we act. He says, he has showed unto thy servant. He names himself and he realizes, listen, Jacob is loved of God, but he says, God, he realizes and recognizes, and listen, for you and I know that I am a part of his family, but I want God to know that I'm here to serve him. Too many times, let me just remind you, we didn't step in here to be served. God called us unto his service. He commanded us unto his service. Too many times we think, and in this life, people come for what they can get, not what they can give. Listen, folks, I don't know if you understand this, but God gave his best for you. He didn't ask you to give first. He ponied up the greatest, the way, the truth, the life. You want to put it in that way. He comes to this place, he says, deliver me. I don't know about you, and he talks about how he passes over with two bands, but I want to get to this for time's sake. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Can we just take, this is an Old Testament passage of scripture. Can I apply it to your Christian life today? Most of the time, a church is devoured or divided or broken from the inside out. Not the devil attacking from the outside, it's broken from the inside. And tonight, without a doubt, there are people in here who fear what their brother will do to them. They fear what their brother is going to say. They're fearful for some action they've taken or something they've done. Some folks are oblivious of what they have done, but they'll find out. But I'm just going to tell you, there's so many times, some of you are fearful to go forward for God because your brother's over there. I don't believe in our church tonight that we have any problem with this necessarily, but the west side, not liking the east side. And the east side, not, you know, I choose my side of the building to sit because of who's on that side. That won't just divide a church, that'll devour it. How can a church be of one accord when brothers fear each other? They fear what might happen and what might be done. Let me just remind you tonight, listen, God has blessed each and every one of us. If we just focused on what God has done for us and how much He loves us, we'd be willing to go ahead and confess and forsake the past. We'd go to our brother and get it right. We'd settle whatever it is that's between us, whatever's been festering, because it's not the focus. Crossing Jordan is the focus. Going forward for God is the focus. Because one day I will cross the swelling tide. And if you're saved here tonight, you will cross the swelling tide and you will face Jesus Christ. And instead of trying to say, the devil made me do it, you'll stand before Him and say, I would have done that for you, God, but I was afraid of my brother. I was afraid of what somebody might say. I was afraid of what somebody might do. Why? Because of past wrong? Because you didn't confess it and forsake it? Listen, in this building, it's a very forgiving crowd of people who love God's people. Not a one of us are perfect. If you don't believe so, this book is read. Listen, I've read in this book multiple times and preached it. A just man falleth seven times. So what does it mean? It means he got up. And he got it right. And he got back with it. Folks, I'm just going to tell, for all of us, we've got to come to the place in our Christian lives to realize that every one of us got a past. Every one of us will be haunted with it. But too many of you carry it way too long. You cross way too many Jordans of your life with it. And God, listen, it gets harder and harder because God heaps His blessings on us. Do you know when Jacob only had to protect himself, it wasn't too bad. He said, you know, come what may, I'm okay. Some of you men know this. If it was just me, I could live in a camper and go wherever. I'm a man, all right? You know how it is. I could do this or I could do that, but it's a totally different thing when you got to take care of you and your wife and your children and you want them to have things. Hey, folks, those are the blessings of God. We said they're His heritage. So instead, listen, why don't you tonight determine you're going to get, not only confess, but you're going to forsake whatever it is for your family's sake. Because if you don't, guess what? Every one of us that's in here, you're going to carry that over to next Jordan. And children that ought not see their dad scared of anything but trusting in God and doing His will watch you quake in fear because of unconfessed or maybe confessed but not forsaken sin. Why in the world would you want to cross the same Jordan twice in the same direction? See, God took him over the Jordan to be able to bring him back. Some folks, I'm going to tell you, some folks are still on the other side and won't come home because of their past. The pews would be full tonight of people who were just men that fell down. But instead of getting up and getting it right, they're gone. They moved on to the next place. And they did that somewhere else, whatever they fell and did here, because they didn't get it right. They didn't fix it with their brother. Hey, I don't know what God, I don't know why exactly God had me preach this tonight, but I know this. This day changes Jacob and makes him a man that God can call Israel, because he faces up to his fear and he crosses Jordan. Even though he divides, he tries to do it, he divides into two camps. Listen, folks, you find he sees God do something. He says, this is a good idea. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to put two groups out. I'm going to have the first wave and the second wave. And if this first wave gets hit, at least my kids will survive. That's a terrible way to live. Always looking for the next wave to hit us and the next thing to get us. How about having confidence? Remember this morning? The Christian ought to be confident in the Lord that he has is taking care of us. I think Jacob kind of took a hope when he saw that host. God's with me. He wants me to go home. But then he realizes and has to face his past. Folks, none of you are going to outrun your past. It's your past. The only way you can take care of it is to take care of it. To not only confess it to God, but to go get it right with your brother and sister in Christ. And to make it right. You say, well, I can't make it right. No, but you can ask for forgiveness. Whether they give it to you or not, that's the right thing to do. And by the way, if you're a brother and sister in Christ, you're commanded to forgive. Because the longer you hold it, guess who it destroys? You. It'll eat you from the inside out. Folks, tonight, I know this, that if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the first Jordan you need to cross, you need to cross over into salvation. Jesus came from heaven. He's the only begotten Son of God, and he died on the cross and rose again to pay for your sin. Jacob is one of the heirs of salvation that we talked about tonight. Not because he was perfect, but because Jesus was perfect. He had done wrong, but he put his faith and trust in the future Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and pay for all sin. And he went to Abraham's bosom and waited on the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait to hear Jesus tell me about how he took captivity captive that day. And he took all those that had waited for so long to heaven with him. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that's going to be a great day when I stand and see all them in it. And then Jacob tell about this story and how he felt and how he trembled. But when he faced up to it and saw his brother, do you know it was so much easier? Because when Esau showed up, Esau met him with forgiveness. But by the way, Jacob met him with exactly what he met God with. I'm undeserving of your mercy. I'm not a good brother. I did terrible things. I mean, he just kind of confesses the thing and says he forsakes it. I know this, in a church our size, in a place like this, we can't afford to be divided. Not because of the offering, but because of God's blessings. And tonight, listen, I beg you. I asked you to confess it, but I'll ask you tonight, forsake it. The best way to forsake your sin is to give it up, to turn away from it, to turn to God. Many of you have done that. But now the only way it's going to stay is to put it in your past and to get it right with whoever you had wronged. You say, preacher, what if I don't know how they'll react? That's part of it. There's still a God in heaven, and pray and ask him. You can't do anything about what other people will do. But if you're here and you need to be saved, you ought to get it right. God is angry at sin every day, all day long. But there's one that came and paid for those sins and has appeased the anger of Almighty God for those that will call upon the name of the Lord. For you that are saved, there's still mercy for you, even if you don't feel like you're worthy. Jacob didn't think he was worthy, did he? No, none of us are worthy for the mercies of God, but they're new every morning. Preacher, I don't think I can forgive. You don't know what you're asking me to do. I do know what I'm asking you to do. And I know what Jesus forgave for you. And if he could forgive you, you can forgive them. You just have to look to him for help. You have to look to him. It ain't easy. It's a lot easier to say than it is to do. But the best thing for our church is to go forward without the sins of our past haunting us as we cross over each Jordan. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I don't know where you are in your Christian life or what Jordan that you feel like you're crossing over, what you feel like you're carrying in your life, but I'll just say this. The past will haunt you until you take care of it. If you're here tonight and you're one of God's people and you say, "Preacher, that message helped me. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you slip your hand up? Preacher, that helped me tonight. I appreciate you putting them up. I'm going to pray for you tonight." I'll just say this. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to cross over, you'd like to be saved, and you say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that." Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere? And let me pray for you tonight. All right. Could you hold it up high so I could see it so I can pray for you? All right. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for our church. Lord, I didn't see any hands for salvation, but if there is one, God, help them to know that they can come and we'll take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Holy Spirit of God, draw them unto yourself, unto Jesus Christ to be saved tonight. But for God's people, Lord, I beg you tonight, help us to confess and forsake. Help us to get it right. Lord, help us to do our best to make it right. Help our church, Lord, to be looking forward and not looking back at the things of the past. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow you in everything you want us to do until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me tonight as Brother Birch sings, "Would you come and do business with God?"